Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this pre-recorded program. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, June 29, 2020. 20 people are killed and nearly 40 others are wounded in intercommunal fighting in Lake State on Saturday.
On day 26, around 8, other group also went to the area of Gorok, specifically a place called Manual. They found some young men which were taking bus at that time. Then they opened a fire on them.
And the head of the Anglican Church in South Sudan is calling on communities to stop tribal clashes.
And I also call upon all our politicians, please, in the name of Jesus, avoid taking your politics and brewing it in Juba and then taking it to the people in the villages to dance to your tune and to kill themselves.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Lake State say 20 people were killed and nearly 40 others wounded in an intercommunal fighting in Lake State on Saturday. The Lake State Police spokesperson says the weekend clashes started when members of one clan attacked another clan to revenge killing of their kinsmen. The Lake State acting administrator says he has deployed security forces in the area to prevent further attacks. For VOA News, William Mabor reports from Rumbek, Lake State.
Captain Elijah Mabor Makwai, the Lake State Police spokesperson, says the conflict began on June 24th when an unidentified gunman staged an attack in Pachong, Payam, wounding three people.
In the following morning, on day 25, other group also went to cattle camp by name Wailwal and raided and specified number of cattle and they went away. On day 26, around 8, other group also went to the area of Gorok, specifically a place called Manual. They found some young men which were taking bus at that time. Then they opened a fire on them until one person was killed and other person was wounded. This triggered very big tension between the warring parties. The accusation come up, the side of the disease, plus cattle raided, the security situation become volatile.
Captain Makwai says Lake State Acting Administrator Martin Machich has deployed soldiers in the area to end the fighting and quell mounting tensions. Makwai says the heads of various security agencies visited the area and have urged the warring communities to lay down their weapons.
The government at all levels put in place different mechanisms such that the security situation could be arrested. Even high-level committee of the state, including the SG and the commissioner of the police, plus other head of security units, went to the people, they talked to the people to remain in peace.
Reverend Father Augustine Ekeno, a Catholic priest from the Congregation of the Society of Jesus or Jesuit Community, says he saw hundreds of armed youth mobilizing in Rumbek East on Saturday, where he had gone to carry out pastoral mission.
What I saw from those young people with the arms they were carrying, the viciousness with which I saw them moving and running, demonstrated to me that we have allowed our young generation, many and many of them as they are all over this state, it's like we have allowed them to choose the path of death, the path of curse. Why are we sitting down and allowing our young generation to choose the path of death, the path of curse? What are we doing to make sure that we encourage, motivate our young people to choose the path of life?
Reverend Augustine said this culture of violence and death, which he says has continued for many years, must come to an end. He called on the government to motivate South Sudanese youth to build their future, not to tear it down.
Other young people of their age in other countries are focusing on building their own future. I saw many young people who are investing their energy, investing their youth in destruction. That is what made me feel really sorry. I felt sorry for them, I felt sorry for their communities, and I felt sorry for our country, South Sudan.
The religious leaders call on the government leaders to disarm civilians. If the government would force young people to give up their guns, Lagos State would be at peace, according to Father Augustine.
I request and engage them as their leader of their people in terms of spiritual matters. I think we need to continue with that path of disarmament and disarming our people. We remove these guns from our brothers who are causing a lot of destruction. And if we do that successfully, peace will reign in this country. But if they continue to arm themselves, the more they arm themselves, the more this area becomes unstable and not peaceful. These are our brothers that I saw yesterday continue to arm themselves. We are not going to enjoy and experience peace in this region.
A source at Rumbek State Hospital who spoke on the condition of anonymity for fear of reprisals from the government officials says victims of the latest violence are being treated for gunshot wounds to the head, chest and thighs. Source says some of the patients escaped from the hospital last night for fear that they would be arrested or attacked by other community members. Though several peace conferences have been held in the past to try to reconcile the Gonj and Tuyi sections of the Dinka in Lagos State, attacks and counterattacks have continued between the two communities. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur in Rumbek, Lagos State.
We would like to apologize for some errors in our news about fighting in Tombora on Friday. In that broadcast, we referred to Bishop Eduardo Hiboro as the Archbishop of Yambio Tombora Diocese. Yambio Tombora Diocese has no archbishop, and the Catholic Church in South Sudan has only one archbishop, who is in Juba. Church leaders in South Sudan are calling for an end to intercommunal violence, which has killed hundreds of people in parts of the country in recent weeks. The archbishop and the primate of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, Justin Badi Arama, says he is saddened by the ongoing violence in Jongle, Warap, Tombora and Lake States. The bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Yambio, Tombora, Eduardo Hiboro Kosala, is calling on politicians to stop inciting intercommunal violence. Seba Martin Morangi reports for VOA from Juba.
Speaking to South Sudan in Focus on Sunday, Justin Badi Arama, the Archbishop and Primate of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, called on South Sudanese leaders to stop inciting their people to violence.
And I also call upon all our politicians, please, in the name of Jesus, avoid taking your politics and brewing it in Juba and then taking it to the people in the villages to dance to your tune and to kill themselves. That is wrong.
The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Tombora Yambio, Eduardo Hiboro Kosala, says church leaders are aware of the ongoing intercommunal fighting in parts of the country. Bishop Hiboro says there is no justification for communities to attack each other.
People are fighting and killing themselves. A lot of people displaced. And for no reason, what war are we fighting? What are we looking for? This is not right, and we have to put an end to this. And these wars that are happening, and I'm appealing to the conscience of our government and all the people who come from those areas. There are elders, there are intellectuals, there are people who have the knowledge. We have to believe now in the sacredness of life. This is what our Christian faith teaches us. Human being is not manufactured. It's a gift from God. And that life belongs to God only. The culture which rejoices over the death of anybody is a terrible culture. It's not a culture that is human.
Archbishop Arama urged politicians and ordinary citizens everywhere to desist from violence and embrace peace. And he had one message for the nation's young people.
This country belongs to them now and belongs to them tomorrow and the next tomorrow. So they should not confuse themselves and give in to people who have already completed their life to confuse us so that we lose our tomorrow. Please, my youths, my children, keep away from confusion by all our politicians. If they want to do violence, let them go themselves.
The Archbishop of Western Equatoria Internal Province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, Samuel Enosa Penny, says rather than focus on their own interest, the nation's politicians should look at furthering the interests of the nation as a whole.
God will inspire our leaders not only to look at their own interests, but to look at the interests of the nation. And the interest of the people of this nation is to have peace. And to have this peace, we need the government to be in place at all levels so that we can be able to look unto them and expect the government to be formed, bringing the right people to the right place. People who can unite, people who have Christian values. We claim in South Sudan that we may have maybe 80% Christians for us as a church. Why should we continue to do the issue of revenge? We should refrain from the culture of revenge.
Church leaders are calling on transitional government leaders to quickly appoint state governors and form state governments. They say the absence of local governments and law and order has created space for people to engage in violence. Bishop Hiboro says the formation of the state government should be done in a transparent manner.
These are leaders to lead communities of people. It's not something you do under the door, under behind the curtain. You appoint my relative, you appoint that one, I like him, he's for my family, he's for my tribe. This is not a private business. It is a community and national duty where people need to be involved.
Bishop Hiboro says governor must be leaders who will deliver services to the people. Hiboro and other church leaders say once appointed, the governor should work to create a platform for peace and reconciliation and lead the South Sudanese people toward the common goal of development. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Murangi in Juba.
Sudan's transitional government has deployed soldiers and police on the streets of the capital Khartoum ahead of a planned June 30th rally. Different groups in Sudan have called for a massive rally on June 30th, which is the day ousted President Omar al-Bashir staged a coup in 1989. Many activists are commemorating the day with a demand for justice, freedom, and economic reforms in Sudan. For VOA News, Michael Atid reports from Khartoum.
Heavily armed troops, including the Sudan Armed Forces, police, National Intelligence and Security, the paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces, are patrolling the streets of Khartoum on Land Cruiser pickups. Other public institutions, such as government offices, banks, the airport, military headquarters, are surrounded by military tanks. Security forces have taken control of bridges linking Khartoum with other towns, including Omdurman and Khartoum North, denying access to residents trying to get in and out of those areas. Speaking in Arabic to reporters Sunday night, a member of the Sudan Sovereign Council, General Yasser Al-Atta, said the heavy security presence in Khartoum and other towns is meant to protect the people.
We want to assure citizens that the military has put in place protection measures across the country. As we commemorate this event, we expect all of our revolutionaries to behave in a civilized way, which reflects our history, honor, pride, and the pride of our glorious revolution.
Khartoum State Caretaker Governor Yusuf Adam Adey issued an order on Saturday closing all the shopping centers, banks, and local markets today and tomorrow during the rallies. Alata says all revolutionaries and the resistance committees in the neighborhoods should avoid any confrontation with the security forces, saying the forces are on the streets for their protection.
All our forces are here to give you full protection day and night. They have been instructed to provide security along the roads, at all public rallies that will be organized in different locations, and any form of celebration of your choice as we commemorate the victory of this glorious revolution.
Farah Abbas is a member of the Khartoum Center Resistance Committee who lost his son, Abbas, during the military's June 3rd crackdown on protesters outside the military headquarters in Khartoum last year. Speaking in Arabic, Abbas says he and other Khartoum residents will organize a public rally at Freedom Yard on Tuesday. He says Speakers at the rally will urge the transitional government to implement reforms, including justice for victims of crimes during the al-Bashir era.
We expect that there be a fair and just trial for the victims, and we also expect Sudan to build a solid rule of law for the next generation and to enjoy a prosperous economy. We believe that without rule of law, we cannot achieve peace or freedom.
Abbas says he believes the June 30th Million Man March of last year was a clear message to al-Bashir supporters and the military that the Sudanese people need civilian rule under which a democratic transformation is established.
When we live in a state of law, we expect everyone to respect the law and our revolution will be put on the right path. We believe this change came as a result of the sacrifice of our sons and daughters and through hard work of our resistance committees.
Forces for Freedom and Change, a coalition of civilian political parties which signed the power-sharing deal with the military, issued a statement asking all resistance groups to adhere to a peaceful rally and remain vigilant to ensure the objectives of the revolution are achieved. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Malawi has a new president. Find out how it all happened right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person. I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person. To give the person a breathing space, just to ponder about whatever I said. And in the course of time, to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Malawi's new president, Lazarus Chikwera, took oath of office in the capital, Lilongwe, on Sunday. The swearing-in ceremony came after he defeated two candidates, including former President Peter Mutharika, in a tightly contested presidential election rerun held last week. Malawi's courts nullified a first election which took place in May 2019 due to irregularities. Many Malawians expect Chikwera's administration to start implementing its campaign promises. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
There was jubilation from hundreds of people who gathered at the Bingu International Convention Center in the capital, Lilongwe, Sunday, to witness Chakwera and his vice president, Saulos Chilima, taking oath of office from Chief Justice Andrew Nyilenda.
I, Dr. Lazarus Makate Chakwera, do solemnly swear that I will well and truly perform functions of the high office of President of the Republic of Malawi, so help me God.
The presidential election rerun was held after the Constitutional Court nullified last year's election, which gave former President Peter Mutharika a second term because of massive irregularities in the court-sanctioned polls. Chakwera, leader of the opposition Malawi Congress Party, was a candidate for the Tonse Alliance, which comprised nine political parties, including United Transformation Movement, led by former Vice President Saulos Chilima. He ran against former President Mutharika, leader of Democratic Progressive Party, who made an alliance with Atupele Muluzi, leader of the opposition United Democratic Front. A little-known candidate, Peter Kuwani, of the opposition Mbakuwako Movement for Development Party, had no alliance partner. Chakwera won with 2.6 million votes, according to results announced Saturday, while Mutharika came second with 1.7 million votes, and Kuwani won 32,400 votes. In his acceptance speech Sunday, Chakwera pledged to develop the country beyond the expectations of Malawians.
So I pledge to run Malawi well, for that is the surest path that has long been in ruins, riddled with the potholes of greed and corruption. And in making this pledge, I'm accepting this call to serve you with joy and holy fear. For I am duty bound by God and to God and all of you.
Chakwera also appealed to those who did not vote for him to not fear being neglected.
I know that there are many of you who did not vote for me in this election, and perhaps the prospect of my presidency fills you with fear and grief. But I want you to remember one thing. So long as I am its president, it will be a home in which you too will prosper.
However, many Malawians say there is nothing more they are expecting from the new president other than meeting his campaign promises. In their campaign messages, the Tonse Alliance leaders promised the creation of 1 million jobs within the first year, reduction of prices of fertilizers by over 400%, and curbing corruption, which marred the Mutharika administration. Political analyst Mustafa Hussein said it's now time for the new president to start honoring those promises.
What they need to do is fulfill their promises, put the machinery in place that will focus on the implementation of what they promised in the manifestos, including job creation, the reduction of fertilizer price, among others. I think this time around they know the cost of making empty promises.
Patricia Kariat is the General Secretary of the United Transformation Movement Party, a key partner in the Tonse Alliance. She told VOA the new government will even do more than what was promised during campaign period.
Issues of good infrastructure, education, health programs, issues of empowerment of women and men, youth, and the status of Malawians at large, which are going to provide to individual person that when he is or she is in her home, he should be saying, yes, I'm in a new Malawi, which I was looking for.
President Chakwera is expected to outline more of his government's development plans during his inauguration on July 6. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
Kenya is contemplating reopening its economy despite a surge in COVID-19 cases. President Uhuru Kenyatta says his administration may open up the inter-country lockdown as well as allow domestic flights to operate as the country monitors the situation. As Maureen Ojiambo reports from Nairobi, ordinary Kenyans also want the economy to reopen as most of them complain about economic challenges they are facing.
Kenyans are struggling as most companies lay off workers due to economic hard times that has been as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. As the COVID-19 cases surge, recording 259 in the last 24 hours, being the highest in East African region, President Uhuru Kenyatta is contemplating on reopening up the economy with few trials, among them allowing operation of domestic flights in the country.
We are going to be starting domestic flights, and this is what we're going to use as our trial over the, let's say, next couple of days, because we are opening up the lockdown that we have had between inter-county lockdown. And ultimately, I think that's what's going to set the pace for getting a date for us to open up now once again to international flights.
Kenya's Ministry of Health is blaming Kenyans of not taking into consideration measures put in place to contain the spread of the virus. However, Kenyans seem to ignore, as most politicians, including President Uhuru Kenyatta, are holding meetings and moving from county to county despite the ban by the ministry. Chief Administrative Secretary, Ministry of Health, Mercy Mwangangi, said that county governments should enhance their level of COVID-19 management, as numbers are on the rise.
County governments need to deploy rapid response teams. These teams need to be agile and they need to be able to be supported to ensure that they can trace appropriately. And of course, treatment facilities need to be readied in terms of being able to receive any sick or severe patients. We would like to continue urging each and every one of us to continue again seriously observing all the containment measures. Today, we have tested 2,718 samples, out of which 259 people have tested positive for the virus.
Despite the increased numbers and Kenyans already struggling, most of them want the economy reopened so they can look for jobs, as most Kenyans face massive layoff and pay cuts. Dan Kanekisa is a Kenyan working in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, as a teacher, recently evacuated back home with no job. He says the school he works for can't pay them anymore and wants the economy reopened and look for opportunities elsewhere.
Despite the fact that we still have no full control over this, but I think there is need for the government to open up the economy, because if you look at the private sector for that matter, a lot of jobs, people are really struggling. The government should actually take that as a matter of urgency, because for sure people are suffering outside here.
Kenya is leading in COVID-19 cases in Eastern Africa region, as countries like Uganda and Rwanda record few cases and zero deaths. As per yesterday Sunday, Kenya's COVID-19 cases increased to 6,070 after 259 tested positive for the virus in the last 24 hours. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Opi, Opi Yesu by Gerald Loboka and Godfrey from Nimule.
Madita zireri, ade kwanenera, madita ndureri, sake suara, majoti parari, joti karawenenera, yeah. Karawenenera, madita zireri, ade kwanenera, madita ndureri, sake suara, majoti parari, joti karawenenera, yeah. Karawenenera, oh. Molo eta diyasa, baba nyemera nye, eh, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye, eh.
Molo lazasa, baba nyemera nye, eh, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye, eh.
Molo lubiyasa, baba nyemera nye, eh, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye, eh.
Molo takowasa, baba nyemera nye, eh, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye, eh.
Molo eta diyasa, baba nyemera nye, eh, opi Yesu,
baba migeni nye, eh.
Molo takowasa, baba nyemera nye, eh, opi Yesu.
We've been listening to Gerald Loboka and Godfrey from Nimule singing in their native Madi language. The Madeira found in Eastern Equatorial State. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.